Turning your Bibles tonight to Genesis chapter 19. I want to mention to you that next Sunday night, Lord willing, following the evening service, we'll be having a baptismal service. So if you have never followed the Lord in baptism, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you'd like to be baptized, if you'll see me or if you'll see one of the elders, then we'll be glad to talk to you about that. That's, Lord willing, next Sunday night, May the 1st. Boy, that kind of sticks coming out, doesn't it? May the 1st. We're headed to page 5 on the calendar. And before long, it will be Christmas again. The other thing, I want to read you this note. The P.C. Dorsey Training Day has been expanded to include the men on staff as well as the ladies. We're also making it available to the Calvary Memorial Church family only. It is not available to the general public. Some of you have already signed up, but if you haven't, it is imperative that you stop by the office or call the office as soon as possible so we'll have an accurate count of those who will be in attendance. We also need to know which of you want to receive the concealed carry certification and those who are coming for review and or hands-on training only. If you want the concealed carry certification, please pay Lilius in the office at the time you sign up. The cost for the certification is $35. That's way less than half of the usual price, and it must be paid in advance. Now, I think here's the important revision to the original announcement. In our previous sign-up memo, we suggested a potluck lunch. That has been changed. We are providing the food for our lunch break, so a lunch is going to be provided. However, if you would like to bring a dessert, that would be appreciated. So it's an opportunity to have some hands-on training with a firearm by experts, certified experts in that field. It's also, if you're interested, an opportunity to take the concealed carry class and get that certification. So keep that in mind. That's this coming Saturday, April the 30th, beginning at 8 o'clock. Okay. And all times are sharp. 8 o'clock sharp, 10 o'clock sharp in the morning for the bus. Leaving. I just love, Ronald Reagan used to, when he flew on Air Force One, one of the things that he took a great deal of pride in talking about was the pride of the crew. When they told him, we're going to arrive at a certain air base or a certain airfield at a certain time, he said it was just a matter with them of intense pride for that plane to roll up to the place and stop exactly when that clock turned over to the time they said. And I love it. I look at my watch at 7 o'clock and Brother Benny is up here. At 11 o'clock, he's starting. And that's a good testimony for the Lord. And so 10 o'clock sharp in the morning, on the bus, ready to go. The wheels will roll, Lord willing. All right, Genesis chapter 19. And we want to read it, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask you to help us as we study your word together for a few moments tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For a few minutes, I want us to think about a couple of things that we didn't have time to get to this morning. That happens quite often, really. You can't say everything in every message. And there's a couple of other things that I'd like to touch on tonight. These are familiar verses to most of us here in the church. And familiarity can be a dangerous thing. And we need to ask the Lord when we come to His Word to take away the familiarity that we have. So that it's like we've studied it and we're reading it and studying it for the first time. In verse 1, we find two angels coming to Sodom at even. And what they find is Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. That's part of the progression of sin and compromise in this man's life that we talked about this morning. Another thing that we mentioned this morning is the contrast that exists between the days of Noah and the days of Lot. And that contrast is not just between the conditions that existed in these two time periods. The contrast is between these two men as well. And that's what we primarily want to look at tonight. The contrast between Noah and Lot. Keep your place here and or you might just be able to flip right back to it. And look at Genesis chapter 6, if you will. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and let's notice, if you will, verse 8. I'm sorry. Verse 7 is where we want to begin reading. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the first mention of grace in the Bible. If you have a Defender Study Bible, Dr. Henry Morris points that out. I think it's a tremendous point. And he also points out that what we find at the first mention of grace is that grace is found. It's not earned. It's not deserved. Grace isn't found in man. Grace is found in God and God alone. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not only is faith the gift of God, grace is the gift of God. And we know that because the meaning of the word grace, it's unmerited favor. It's undeserved favor. It is the grace of God that brings salvation. We sing that great song, Marvelous, Infinite, Matchless Grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. And that grace is found when we humble our hearts before God. James chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he humbled his heart and he believed the message of the gospel. A message, as we've seen in a previous message, that's found in the meanings of the names of these men that are listed in Genesis chapter 5. Man appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring the despairing rest. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now contrast that grace. Grace that God gives to the humble. Contrast that with what we read about Sodom In Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49, we read, "Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom." And the first thing that God mentions there is pride. Pride. And then in verse 50, God says of Sodom, they were haughty. The people of God were full of, the people of Sodom were full of pride. They were high and lofty in their attitude of heart, and they exalted and they magnified themselves against the God of heaven. And someone might say, well, where does it say that concerning Lot? I think we see it in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. We talked recently how in Bible times the gate was more than just an entrance to the city. In Genesis chapter 23, in the life of Abraham, we learned that the gate was the place where business was conducted. We find that in the book of Ruth as well. It was the place where contracts were entered into. It was at the gate of the city that the standard and value of money was determined. In Deuteronomy 21 and Deuteronomy chapter 22, we learned that the gate of the city was the place where trials were held. And judgment was declared and executed. The gate of the city was the seat of governmental authority. And here's Lot sitting in the gate of Sodom. I believe that's a clear indication that he was in a position of authority. And the only way that he could have gotten that position and stayed in that position is if he reflected the same attitude of heart that the people of Sodom had. The only way that he could have gotten that position and kept that position was if his life was not a contrast to the lives of the people of Sodom. If he had not been in that kind of frame of heart, he never would have gotten in that position. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, we read that Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. That word just means righteous. Noah was righteous. He was a righteous man. But it's not Noah's own righteousness that he had. That word just means righteous as justified and vindicated by God. The righteousness, the justness that Noah had was the righteousness and the justness of God. It's true of believers in every age. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so, the righteousness, the justness that Noah had was not his own. It was the righteousness of God. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. If we want to know what those words, perfect in his generations, mean, then all we have to do is look over at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And what we read there is, "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God saw Noah as perfect in his generation, for the same reason that he sees you and me as perfect in our generations if we're saved. It's because he sees us justified by grace through faith and clothed in his righteousness. And the practical outworking, the practical evidence of being just before God, the practical evidence of being justified by God, the practical outworking of being clothed in the righteousness of God is manifest in the life. And it was manifest in Noah's life. The last part of Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. And Noah walked with God. That's the practical demonstration of being a just man, of being a righteous man. It's the evidence. Walking with God. Noah is the blessed man of Psalm 1. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Noah walked with God. Contrast that with Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Could not be any more distinct contrast between two men, between two believers. Noah walked with God. Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. There's another contrast between these men that we don't want to miss. Look again at Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You don't have to, but if you would like, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 for just a minute. You just hold your place here in Genesis and look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and notice verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Think about that. Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. When the ark was ready, he went into it. So we have these two verses that give us the same information. Hebrews 11:7, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, God says to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. When the ark was ready and God told Noah to come thou and all thy house into the ark, because he was fixing to rain judgment on the earth, Noah went to his sons, and he went to his daughter-in-laws, his sons' wives. And he no doubt gave them that message, come to the ark. And because Noah had walked with God, because his talk was consistent with his walk, his sons and his daughter-in-laws came into the ark and they were saved from the judgment of God. Now contrast that with Lot. Look at Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. And look at verse 12. Genesis chapter 19 and verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place. Instead of walking with God as Noah did, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And because he sat in the gate of Sodom, when he got the same command that Noah received from the Lord, whatsoever thou hast, in verse 12, in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And the next words in this verse are among the saddest that you'll ever read in the Word of God. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Instead of walking with God, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And because he sat in the gate of Sodom, when he got the same command that Noah received from the Lord, when Lot got that command and he went out and he spake unto his sons-in-law to get out of this place, for the Lord is going to destroy this city. I wonder if that's the first time that his sons-in-law had ever heard Lot speak the word Lord. Sitting in the gate of Sodom is not a place where you talk about the Lord. And the Bible tells us that he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot's talk didn't match his walk. Or perhaps the better way to say it is that Lot's talk didn't match where he had been sitting. And in contrast to Noah, who prepared an ark to the saving of his house, Lot lost his house, save for himself and his two unmarried daughters. All the Lord had to say to Noah, this is another contrast between these two men. All the Lord had to say to Noah was, Come. Come thou and all thy house into the ark. And Noah and his family came into the ark. In contrast to that, the angels, we see there in verse 15, And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They had to lay hold upon him. The Lord just said to Noah, Come thou. Just spoke the word and Noah came. Lot had to be taken by the hand, and his wife had to be taken by the hand, and his two daughters had to be taken by the hand and literally set without the city. I wonder how many Christians, I wonder how many believers would almost have to be taken by the hand when the Lord blows the trumpet. Because they have such a love for this world. And they're so ingrained in sitting in the gate of the city of this world that they don't want to leave it. What a tragedy that is. What a contrast between these two men in the face of the impending judgment of God. And if we're saved tonight, this contrast that we're looking at between these two men should bring before our minds this question. How are we living? How are we living in the face of the imminent judgment of God? Are we living like Noah? Are we walking with God? Or are we living like Lot, sitting in the gate of Sodom? We ought to think about that tonight. One other point, and that is that we need to understand the nature of the conflict that we're in. We notice what happened here in Sodom when Lot finally took a stand and called sin, sin. Look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Finally, after being vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for how long, we don't know. We don't know how long Lot was in Sodom. But it was a long time, obviously. Long enough for him to get there. Long enough for him to become familiar with the city. Long enough for the city to become familiar with him. Long enough for them to feel comfortable in putting him into a position of authority in the gate of the city. But finally, after however long a time that was, this righteous man, Lot, dwelling among these people, in seeing and hearing day in and day out of their unlawful deeds, his righteous soul is finally vexed for what is right. And he finally speaks out for what is right. He says to these men, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." Notice what their reaction was in verse 9. "And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." Folks, we're going to Raleigh, Lord willing, tomorrow. We're going there to thank our legislators and our governor for standing and doing what's right. And in doing so, what we are doing by our presence there is expressing our vexation with the filthy conversation of the wicked. If you stand for something, then it just goes without saying that you are automatically against the opposite of that. If you're for right, then you're against wrong. If you're for right, you're against evil. We're going there to say that seeing and hearing the unlawful deeds of the wicked from day to day has vexed our righteous souls, and we're here to say that enough is enough. We're tired of seeing evil called good and good called evil. And when we do that, we are not going to be loved for it. We're going to be hated by those who hate the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 19, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of this world, therefore the world hateth you." The world hateth you. The Son of God said that. The men of Sodom hated Lot for saying that they were wicked. And they pressed sore upon him. I take that to mean that they were pressing on Lot against the door of his house because he had closed that door. And you can be crushed by a mob like that. And what Lot needed for his safety was the miraculous intervention of the angels of God. Folks, I'm not trying to raise any undue alarm in you. But I want to tell you that we need the very same thing for our safety tomorrow. I want to read you something. This is from the Reverend Dr. William Barber. He is the head of the NAACP here in North Carolina. And I want to read this to you because it gives you a sense of the tone of the people who are coming to this rally. This is the NAACP. I don't have anything to read you from the transgender community. They'll be there. I just don't have a press release from them. But the news alert says this: nonviolent agreement for repeal of HB2, mass moral sit-in participants. Nonviolent agreement to build a beloved community for participants of the mass moral sit-ins to repeal Hate Bill 2. The language there is very interesting. Below are the 9 participant agreements for Monday's day of action and mass moral sit-ins to repeal Hate Bill 2. We are aware that there will be groups rallying in support of Hate Bill 2. That's us. A nonviolent presence and a safe experience for all participants is our priority. And may I say, it is our priority. As we come together from across the state and nation, from across many issues and from diverse identities and communities. And here are the agreements that Reverend Barber is putting forth to those who are going to participate tomorrow. And with slight modification, they're the very things that we're going to rally for. And they're things that we agree to. Number one, we will engage in nonviolence and uphold the principles of love and justice. We're going to Raleigh tomorrow to speak the truth in love. To speak the truth of the Word of God in love. The most loving thing that you can do is tell people the truth. We're going there for justice. For the justice of God. To stand for the judge of all the earth and his justice. Number two, we will not respond to aggressive or disparaging remarks that are made against us by opposing groups. That's very good. You're probably going to hear some disparaging sort of things tomorrow as we go to our place of a gathering at Halifax Mall. I know I don't need to read number three, but I'll read it anyway. We will not hold signs that have vulgarity or profanity. So leave those signs at home. Number four, we stand to uphold the principles of love and nonviolence while holding our lawmakers accountable for policy decisions. That's why we're going. We're going to ask our lawmakers to continue to uphold the policy decisions and the laws that they've made. Now, I'm going to skip 5 and 6. They don't really apply to us. The seventh one is we will be conscious of the safety of our brothers and sisters, especially those most vulnerable and targeted. We need to be aware of the safety of those who are around us. And those who are most vulnerable among us will be our children that go with us. Number eight, we will listen and cooperate with the instructions given by those who will be identified as martial peacekeepers. Now, apparently, they must have some little group there of themselves that's going to be identified as martial peacekeepers. Well, I would modify that to say that we're going to listen and cooperate with the instructions given by those who will be identified as security. And that will be the Raleigh Police Force and the Capitol Police. And I'm just going to mention the things that are going to coincide with our rally. They're going to be over on East Edenton Street at the Capitol. They're having a press conference at 9:30. They're having a direct action strategy meeting at the Capitol at 10:30. But here's where their rally is going to overlap our rally. At 11:30, when their preliminaries, when people are arriving at our rally, when some of the preliminary things, the group will be singing there. At 11:30, they're going to have what they call a speak out at the Capitol. And then at 12 o'clock, when our rally starts, they're going to be having a direct action protest at the Capitol. I understand that the security is going to be tight tomorrow, and that's a good thing. But I want you to know, as we go, that the battle is on. The battle is on. These folks are serious about having House Bill 2 repealed. And when we say the battle is on, we're not talking about fighting and violence, that kind of battle. We're talking about wrestling. But wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's why we're going to Raleigh tomorrow. And we're going to go there and we want to ask the Lord for His hand of protection. We want to ask Him for His hand of protection in our travels. We want to ask Him for His hand of protection as we attend the rally. And we want to do that so that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be exalted. Father,